Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll discuss the win over the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday Night Football. A thrilling 30-27 victory for the Giants, their third straight win. They are now 3-2, and they are in sole possession of first place in the NFC East.
Wow.
As they get set, yep, for the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football. Quite a turnaround, Jeff.
Big game. Big game coming up. Yeah, I mean, you know, all you can say about this team is the fact that they just play hard. I mean, they they're in first place. We know that they can play better, but the fact is that they show up at home against a team that you really was, you know, Jekyll and Mr. Hyde didn't know how they really were going to play. They played good the first two games of the season. The last couple they have not, so you kind of didn't know what you were getting into. But bottom line is that Eli Manning proves that he can do whatever he wants when he wants in big-time situations. Because yesterday, you know, I'm watching him just run this offense in the first half at the line of scrimmage, no huddle, and just making calls all over the place. Again, they come out in the third quarter and sputter. They've been doing that all season. And then you get into the fourth quarter, and all you ever want to do is have a chance to win the football game in the fourth quarter, and that's what they did yesterday on that last drive. And it just goes to show you that anything can happen in a football game, and you just got to make plays. And that play from Eli Manning to Larry Donnell at the end of the game was big time. And, you know, Larry, we've all been critical on him of his drop passes and his blocking, but he makes a huge play in a critical moment of the game to win the game is just outstanding. And you know, what that team had to go through in that last part of the game with all the receivers out of the game. Yeah. And you got these guys lining up, a practice squad's player. You got a rookie out there. And then you got Dwayne Harris, who is your third or really your fourth or fifth receiver. He now becomes the number one receiver in that situation. And but it does show you, Lance, the importance of, and we talked about this in our pregame yesterday, about, you know, these running backs being able to catch the football out of the backfield, and that becomes another target for Eli and another receiver. And Shane Vereen and Rashad Jennings, you know, especially Shane Vereen, that third down play where he made 24 yards on that was just an amazing, amazing play that happened at the right time to get them down the field. And, you know, when those receivers, when Reuben and Beckham went out of the game, immediately – in my mind, Vereen became their number one receiver, even though he's the running back, because they have so much confidence in getting him the ball and him making you know, yards after the catch, and that's certainly what happened last night. But you got to take your hat off to this team. They play hard. They play physical. You know, yesterday, this 49ers defense, we also talked about this on our pregame show yesterday, was that, you know, they're the pride and they're the soul of that team. That the defense is very physical, and they got physical with Eli Manning. He got hit a lot yesterday.
Seven quarterback hits yesterday.
And, I he didn't get sacked, but he took his lickings, and he kept on ticking. And so we got to button up that a little bit. They continue to struggle in the red zone. You look at the first drive of the game, they're down there in the three-yard line. They can't punch it in. They got to settle for a field goal. The end of the half play with the interception by Eli, that's a big mistake. You know, a long drive like that, you want to come out with points going into halftime. And another opportunity in the red zone that they you know, kicked to the side, and they had another field goal. So, and the running game, you know, 4-point average is good. I think that, you know, when you talk about, you know, that's not a huge number, but when you're getting 4 yards a carry, if you're getting 4 yards on first down or second down, it all bodes well. But most importantly, they're coming off three in a row, and now they have to focus in and go into a huge, huge division game against the Eagles, who, again, we don't know who they are. They either get blown out or they're blown out teams. So big, tough game coming up, and they get an extra day with these injuries. A lot of injuries yesterday.
Yeah.
And we'll find more about that coming up today and tomorrow when you get the medical reports on what's going on there. But they get an extra day because it's a Monday night, which will be good. The other thing too, Lance, you now realize that when John Beeson is not in the football game and you're missing Kennard, you're missing Selby, Ayers, that this run game, their run defense really takes a step back because this 49ers team ran the football on them. And, you know, it wasn't a huge number, but it was more than what they have been giving up, almost double what they've been giving up on the season. And just showing you that those guys, how important they are to that defense. And these young guys are growing up quick. Unga continues to go in there and play. And, you know, he was all over the field, but making some mental errors, as I noticed it last night. And you got guys out there. You got Castillas out of the game, too. You got Brinkley that comes in and plays a little bit. You got Herzlick in there. So, I mean, it was a mash unit, but they were able to pull it off. Sorry for the long opening.
No, not at all. I mean, I think you hit it right on the nose, Jeff. You have to take into consideration the personnel that was out there yesterday throughout the course of the game, given they were missing so many players on defense due to the injury bug. And Brinkley, Herzlick, and Unga got a lot of snaps at linebacker in addition to JT Thomas. But Thomas is just the one regular out of that group.
Right.
Everybody else provides depth for this team. So at least take that into consideration when you look at the numbers. San Francisco was very productive, nearly 5 yards per carry on the ground, and Carlos Hyde nearly had 100 yards on the ground. And he had a lot of runs, Jeff, yesterday where it seemed as if they were going to bring him down. He got out of the tackle and then made it a positive game.
Well, he reminded me a little bit, and I don't want to compare him
What team are we talking about?
The Eagles, the guy that went to Buffalo. I got a brain.
LeSean McCoy.
McCoy. You know, that little, just this little scatterbug, you know, and then he'll change field, and he's got that explosive speed, and that's the kind of player that Hyde is. And you know, a lot of those yards he got, he had some big runs. What was his long run yesterday?
Longest run was 22.
So, you know, you got to bring this guy down. And, he gets a lot of yards after contact, and that goes well. And that 49ers team, you know, they played a good game against the Packers last week, and of course they cut back a lot on their offense, and they got back to doing things that Colin Kaepernick can be successful in, and they also took a little page out of the playbook from the Dallas and the Atlanta game, hitting those short little screen passes and dump off passes, because the Giants continue to have problems covering that type of play.
Though they did surprisingly take some chances down the field. I mean, Anquan Boldin had 28 total yards receiving in the last two games combined. He had one catch for 37 in this contest.
And so they were very well thrown footballs, and it wasn't like he was running down there wide open. They were covered pretty well, and it was just good football play.
In terms of the Giants' offense, and you brought up the fact that this is something we've emphasized, you look at the running numbers, and 4 yards per carry is not terrible, but the production that you're getting from the running backs in the receiving game, Rashad Jennings and Shane Vereen, Jeff, combined for 12 receptions. That came on 12 targets. That means Eli Manning hooked up with his running backs to perfection. And then on top of that, if you look at the tight ends, Will Tye with 4 catches on 4 targets. No drops there. And then Larry Dinell, 6 catches on 7 targets. So one incompletion between targeting the running backs and the tight ends in a game where you mentioned you lost Odell Beckham for a critical drive.
Yeah.
You lost Reuben Randle for a critical drive. You know, that's an example of other guys seeing their opportunities and taking advantage of that.
And no question. And it also goes to show you that how Eli Manning is now becoming comfortable and knowing this offense, because he understands where everybody's at. And look at the distribution of the football yesterday. I mean, I don't know the numbers off. I mean, you got them here, but you look at Randle, you look at Beckham, you look at Harris. I mean, I think all three of those guys had more than 5 catches each. I know that for a fact. But and then you got to spread it around from the running backs and to the tight ends. So Eli Manning is orchestrating this offense the way that they all thought he would. It certainly sometime or another, and it's now happening. And you know, if the offensive line continues to give him protection, I know he got beat up. That front seven for the 49ers is pretty good. Now, I'll tell you, a heck of a football player is Bowman. I mean, he was all over the place last night, that guy. Unbelievable talent he has coming off that injury from last year. So, but, you know, and again, we didn't have any over-under questions about the tight end this week because, you know, the tight ends – They give the Giants problems, and certainly last night, you know, Celek gets a touchdown. He had a couple big catches down the middle of the field, and now they're going to go play the Eagles, who they're going to distribute the ball all over the place too. So, big matchup coming with the Eagles. I'm looking forward to this game. I think the Monday night crew got it right this week. This is a key matchup, a marquee game this Monday night coming up.
And you could even say the next 2 weeks because they get the Cowboys after that. I mean, this is an opportunity to set the tone for the division right here.
Well, you got you're 1-1 in the division right now, and you know, you go out and beat the Eagles, beat the Cowboys. You're sitting 3-1 in the division and atop the NFC East since going into the second half of the season almost, which would be really good.
One other thing I wanted to point out before we get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. You mentioned that the offensive line did a nice job in terms of protection, no sacks given up. They've only surrendered 4 sacks on the season, which is up there in terms of the fewest in the league in the top 5 rankings. 54 attempts through the air by Eli Manning. He completes 41 of them. Those are both career highs. He throws for 441 yards. Jeff, when you look at those numbers, you think Eli Manning throwing the ball 54 times, turnover prone, right?
Yeah.
In the past, you think the more times you put the ball in the air, bad things are going to happen. The one interception, other than that, I thought he handled himself very well in the pocket, considering there was a lot of pressure. And if you go back to that Odell Beckham touchdown, he's getting hit on that, Jeff.
Yeah.
He steps up. He climbs the pocket. He's able to dump it off to Beckham on the left side, and then Beckham obviously takes it the rest of the way. Those types of plays, you saw that consistently throughout this game.
Yeah, just stepping up and kind of understanding where people are at and being patient in the pocket and knowing that his receivers are going to be where they're supposed to be by with that patience. The other thing is that, you know, Eli in the fourth quarter gets out of the pocket, decides to run. You think he's going to slide, and next thing you know, he's lowering his shoulder and he's taking a hit.
An 11-yard scramble.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was an impressive play out of Eli, and you could see that he was a little determined to get that first down there. He was trying to get out of bounds is what he was trying to do, and they licked him pretty good. But just kind of having an awareness in the pocket and having patience back there. But, boy, you know what? He's always gotten hit against the 49ers. The 49ers have always come after Eli and banged him up pretty good, and certainly they did it again last night.
All you have to do is go back to that NFC Championship
game
in 2012. He probably took the most hits in his career in that contest.
And you look at some of the plays that Eli made, you know, and this is the way that the games go. You know, sometimes you get these plays that happen for you, and sometimes they don't. But, you know, the interception that was called back there in the fourth quarter – you know, that could have been another interception. The other one is there was another dropped one in the middle of the field, or actually in the end zone. So, you know, it's just the ball bounces different ways. But the fact is that Eli made the play when he had to make the play down there. And with the – and then, you know, we didn't mention this. You know, Pugh went out in that series too with an ankle. So, they're shuffling guys back and forth. And it's just amazing to me the presence that you have to have when you have Odell Beckham in the game. I mean, here's a guy that went out of the game, is sitting on the bench. He's running routes on the sideline, trying to get that hammy, you know, nice and warmed up so he can come back. As soon as he comes back in the game, it's like antennas up for the 49ers, you know, and then they end up going in and they get a personal pass interference call and another huge play. And once again, in the NFL, you don't have to catch the ball to make yards because they call these things all the time. But what a big momentum play just to having him in the game. And even though that he wasn't 100% healthy, they had to pay attention to him. Crazy.
And
crazy.
That opens up opportunities for
Daniel
and everybody else.
No
so that's
question
why it's big to have
there.
Him on the field.
Couple little things that you know, I don't know what happened there with that timeout that was called, that wasn't called. You know, Eli was looking over to the sideline asking Tom, do we want to call a timeout? And then, you know, walk home and ends up giving him a timeout, and Tom goes crazy. And, you know, those are just some of the little things they got to button up, and it continues to, you know, that communication that they have in the fourth quarter somehow. They got to get better at that because they're going to need that type of communication and that discipline and understanding that both the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, and the head coach are all on the same page.
We want to remind fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. One other injury to note, Brandon Merriweather was knocked out of the game with a sprained knee. Tom Coughlin's going to have a conference call with reporters later today, so we'll get an update on
the
injury.
And he came back and played in the game. Just another veteran. I mean, these guys just goes to show you that, you know, there's rookies and there's veterans and guys that in important games, you know, that you got to get back and play for your team. I think that we can criticize Merriweather all we want, but for the most part, I think he's done a nice job coming in here. He's been very clean. I think he's done, you know, we all knew he can't cover. But he is a good box safety. He can come down there and make some plays. And he's doing a nice job back there. And Landon Collins is coming into his own. I mean, I'm sure he wants that one pass that he could have intercepted.
Yeah.
But, you know, going into it, he doesn't have good hands. And he's never going to have great hands. But he's a good tackler, very good tackler. And he's, you know, he's starting to learn the game from the pro level, and it's starting to show.
Let's open up the phone lines. Time to hear from the fans at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We get the festivities started with Emilio in Florida. Emilio, what's happening?
What's up?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, John. How's it going, guys?
It's all right. It's Lance, but it's okay. How's everything?
Oh, I'm sorry, Lance.
No problem.
Yeah, appreciate your, Jeff, you know I appreciate you and Lance. You know, even though I've never told you, I appreciate your journalistic expertise.
Well, we appreciate you listening to you.
I don't know much of my journalistic stuff, but I think that, that Lance is probably a better journalist than I am.
Yeah,
too modest today, Jeff.
For Lance, Jeff. You know I appreciate you as a player, but anyway.
Oh, I see. So you're buttering me up after butchering my name.
Course,
I see how it
course.
Works, Emilio. Okay, fair enough.
Apology accepted.
Yes.
I think, you know, wow, we're in first place. But, you know, this game, you know, if you look back at the history of between the two teams, I think you got to throw the stats out the window because, I mean, besides that that playoff in 86 when we dropped 49 on Joe Montana, and I think a couple of years ago when we beat them in San Francisco, it was 37-3 or 6. They were a much better team than we were. So I think, you know, we've always played those games close to the hilt. But the one thing I'll tell you guys, that catch by Donnell, oh, my God.
Big time.
He went up to big blue heaven, just like Akeem Nicks did in Green Bay. And I'll tell you, I don't want to jinx this, but I smell something special, guys. I smell something special starting because I've seen it before. Anyway, my question is this. Moving on to, you know, it's just good to talk about this game, you know, and whoever wants to say anything about Larry Donnell again, better, like, keep their mouth shut after this one. But moving ahead to Philly, you know, I think we got to come up with something different because they seem to have always been a thorn in our side, you know, and they pasted us really well last year, 27-0, I think it was. So I think we got to come out, you know. What do you think? We come out with something different for Philadelphia? I mean, something
in what
not
ways?
What we're doing?
Offensively or defensively? What?
Offensively. I think we need to, like, do something different. I mean, and I'll listen to what you guys have to say because I feel we have to do something out of the box because, I mean, they've always been a tough draw for us.
Right. All right. Well, we appreciate the call. Thank you. I'll comment on that. You know, it's not as easy as you think to do something different. I mean, you can put some twist in the game plan and the coaches will, because they've got a nice sample of games now that the Eagles have gotten, you know, they've done this year. But you remember, you got limited practice time to put new stuff in. So I think, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think this offense is, you know, it's going at a pretty good clip. I think you got to improve the running game a little bit. And they'll find little things to change things up. But for the most part, you can't go in and just change everything. And I know that that's unrealistic. But I get what Emilio's saying a little bit. Just maybe some here and there. Maybe a couple of trick plays. Maybe a little deep passes and see how the health of Odell Beckham is this week, if he's able to stretch it out a little bit. But, you know, this Eagles team, offensively, they're not on the field very much. Their defense is the one you got to wear down. So in my mind, how do you wear down a defense is by running the football and converting third downs and making first downs in time of possession. Keep that defense of the Eagles on the field for as long as you can and wear them down towards the fourth quarter.
And that's why I don't know if they have to change the script too much based on what you just said, Jeff, because look at yesterday's game. You were 9 of 14 on third down. Of your 14 third downs, 10 were for 4 yards or less.
Beautiful.
So you have those manageable situations. Yes, you didn't run the ball for 6 yards per carry, but you utilized the running backs. You moved the chains. That's what they got to do against this Eagles defense.
Yeah,
keep them on the field, like you said. Wear them down. Hey, if the offense wants to be on the field for 5 seconds in terms of Philly, let that offense be on the field. You just keep the Philly defense on the field.
Exactly. And you know what? You know, Sam Bradford isn't Joe Montana or Peyton Manning. I mean, he's going to make his mistake. Yesterday he threw two picks in the red zone. So, you know, the Giants are very
opportunistic. You love that word.
No, I hate that word. In fact, I'm never going
to
say it again.
You love to attempt to say it.
I attempt it. It's just a mental lapse, I guess. But, you know, the Giants like to get after and get turnovers, and, you know, they can force them on Bradford. And, you know, if he wants to throw them in the red zone, we'll gladly take them. Trust me. And the fact that the Giants need to get in the end zone – Because that Eagles offense, if they're rolling, they're going to put some points on you. They put up 39 points yesterday on a crappy New Orleans team, although they weren't so crappy 2 weeks ago when they beat Dallas, so that was good, you know. But I think that, this is a classic New York Giants-Eagles rivalry coming up. It's at the Link, Monday Night Football. Couldn't get any better than that.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Joe is in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's happening?
Joe.
Hey, great to talk to you guys. Let's see here. At first, I don't want to sound like Charlie off the bat, but first of all, I'll congratulate Eli and the offensive line and blocking and those sacks. Also, our defensive end, I forget what his name is, there played a great game, the defensive end for us.
Kerry Wynn?
Yeah, great game. You got to give him a game.
Well, DeMontre Moore had two sacks, too, finally. So, you know, you got to give a little kudos to him, too. A big one at the end of the game.
Yeah. The refs blew that one there on Collins on the long pass. It was bad interference play. He has every right to go for the ball. I mean, just because they're bumping him in the air, it's disgusting. It's every week you can call a play. Now, Jeff, you said we're playing hard. I agree we're playing hard, but no way are we playing smart. It's in the red zone, too, especially. There's a time to put your foot on the gas and go. The 49ers were playing desperate yesterday for a win. So were the Eagles. And the 49ers played smart. They didn't put their quarterback throwing the ball deep or crazy plays like he has been for interceptions. But now we get in the red zone. Here's the first thing we do when we're in the goal line. They're anchored in there. We bring Williams in, and you know right where the ball's going. A couple runs, they're anchored down in there. The linebackers are coming up over. You have no chance. I watched in the Dallas game, there Brady takes a little handoff, you know, right up the middle. That's a better chance. And throwing the ball like that, the way we threw it in the red zone the last few weeks, I mean, you got to throw higher percentage plays. You don't lose points down there.
Not disagreeing with you at all.
Now, the Eagles, they were playing. I can tell you anything about them because I see them all the time, and I'm just as happy with an Eagle loss as a Giants win. I just want to tell you that right now up here because I can't take their fans. Yesterday, I want to tell you about playing aggressive. It's smart to play aggressive, but you don't take them chances like we did the last couple weeks in the red zone, throwing the ball down in there. A field goal would have in the Buffalo game would have put us up three scores. That's fine. You don't put that ball in there. I don't care what you say. That's not playing aggressive. Yesterday, the same thing. That ball, you're going to put a play up there, get Donald or someone, put it up there where Eli has a target, something high. You don't throw that there again. Take them points. Now, the Eagles yesterday, they were playing aggressive, too. I watched them. Fourth down, that was on the line yesterday. If they would have lost, their fans would have killed them and ran Kelly out of town. On fourth and down from the 50-yard line, go for it. Fourth and five or so, that's a better chance. You don't take a new car out in the stripping roads and step on a gas on a mountain roads or something like that. You want to play smart. We haven't been playing smart, and it's the coaching there. And with time management, yesterday if the 49ers would have held on to that ball and ran it a couple times there instead of throwing it in the end zone, they don't know who Eli Manning is, that he has, this comeback capability. So that's all I want to say. We got to start playing smart. And if we're going to be aggressive, let's be aggressive out there where we have a chance, you know what I mean, because he has thrown the ball well, but not down in that red zone.
Yeah,
they
got to change some things
say.
Down there,
Thank
Joe.
You.
They
really
all right, Joe, appreciate the phone call.
And you look, they were so good in the red zone last year. And this was an offense that, was brand new and, guys running around. And I don't know if teams are just focusing in on what they do in the red zone. They're just so vanilla. But, maybe you do change some things up in there. But I believe that Joe is right when he says that they're playing physical and they're playing tough and they're playing hard. But sometimes you got to play with your head a little bit and be a little bit smarter in situations. And I can tell you that Eli, he would take that interception back in a minute because you throw the ball away there and you come out of there with 3 points on a drive like that right before half. Changes the complexity of the game a little bit. But those are just the way the football games go, and you learn from them. Bottom line is they got the win, and, it wasn't a – It wasn't one of these things where you're just coming in there at the meeting room going, man, we just dominated this game. This game was a tough, tough football game that came down to the wire. And I don't care how you slice it, it's still in the win column. And you move on, and you learn from your mistakes.
Well, as Joe mentioned, there are certainly chances that the Giants have taken where Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin will admit, you know, you want to throw the ball away. But at the same time, Jeff, I think there's the other part of the equation where Stephon Gilmore, he was referring to that Buffalo Bills play, I mean, made a great play.
Yeah, no, that was
a great
play.
To cut off Reuben
Rand.
I mean, you have to give the defense some credit. And it's 3rd and 8. And you
right.
and I discussed this in great detail.
Oh, God, we went over that series
yeah,
so many times.
You can't fault, though, the Giants are wanting to throw the ball. That's
on
the best way
eight.
To pick up 8 yards.
Yeah.
You're not just going to then run it on a draw so you can pick up 2 yards and settle for a field goal.
And the guy made a great play.
Correct.
And you know what? The guy yesterday made a great play for an interception, but Eli did not make a great play as a throw.
That's the difference between the Gilmore play versus the
right.
play yesterday. I agree with you. But on top of that also, the 2 touchdowns in the red zone, the pass to Vereen, that was a high percentage throw.
Yep.
He threw it right in the right corner of the end zone, not in dangerous territory. And then the pass to Beckham when he ran it in, that was also a short pass, yeah. high percentage throw. So I think you're seeing mixed results. It would be unfair to say everything in the red zone is too risky in taking chances. I think there have been some chances, but at the same time, they've also taken what the defense has given them, and the players have made plays.
And, you know, Williams is your power back. They're going to give him the football and try to make some you know, some hay there, and you got to put your confidence in the offensive line that they're going to open up a hole and he can score from down there. So, yeah, when he comes in, you know what they're doing, but you know what? Stop it then, and they did. Or, you know, the Giants got to play better down there and punch it in if they want to run the football.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Maurice is in New Jersey. Maurice, what's happening?
Good morning.
What's
morning
happening,
to you,
Maurice?
What do you got?
Listen, I am doing very well. I'm still on my surfboard. You know, I was riding very high last night. I sounded like Ric Flair a little bit.
I would have liked to hear that.
I was going nuts. But I'm gonna start here. I'm gonna say this. I'm not gonna move on to Philly until Wednesday. I'm gonna take kind of
all right.
Approach
that's Wednesday. Fine. That's your prerogative.
I'm gonna take the team's approach, and I'm gonna wait till Wednesday. But I want to focus on this game. First, I want to start and give credit where credit is due. Coming from the top, let's start with Jerry Reese. Now, he gets his criticism, but I tell you what, investing in a guy like Shane Vereen, we seen last night how valuable he can be. And it was just amazing to see the chemistry and the it was like that familiarness that Eli had with him. It was easy. It was very – they just was in sync with each other. And then, like – I don't know who these guys are. I know Mark Ross is one of them, but the evaluation of, like, the talent out there and the scouts, Will Tye, he didn't have mind-blowing numbers, but he's effective. And guys like that, when you come in and, you know, whether it's injuries and you have to come in and, you know, contribute and play your role and do whatever you're asked to do, he's been doing a good job. And then let's work down to Coughlin. He's been telling these guys and preaching the message, and we've been battle-tested. What don't kill you only makes you stronger. And last night, I think this gives that Giant team a little bit of a little identity builder, because we've been in those situations early in the season, and we blew the 2 games early on. But I'll tell you what, we had a ton of injuries last night. I'll take my hat off to Herzlick and other guys that had to step up. And then with the defense coordinator, Spags, out there playing with what he got, and, you know, we was gashed on a few runs and some plays, but we still managed to hang in there, and I'll switch to McAdoo. Him and Eli are putting this thing together. We are right now sitting in a good spot, because last night that game could not have been – if we would have lost, we would have been looking at a whole different scenario. We positioned ourselves now to go into Philadelphia and try to distance ourselves from the rest of the division. I think – Danelle, I've been very critical on him, but I always knew he had it, because I've seen him make great plays, but I just want to see it on a more consistent level. And his size, look, how tall is Danelle? Can you give me a number on him? How tall
he's
is
at
he?
Least 6'4". And I'll tell you, with cleats on that helmet, he looks 7 feet. He's a big dude. I mean, and he's got, you know, long arms and, yeah.
Well, he was a basketball player, too.
Great
he's
target.
6'6", actually.
6'6".
That's
you
where
go.
He stands.
Yeah.
I think basically what I'm hitting on is when I look on Giants.com, and we always have a huddle and we break down the huddle with Coach Coughlin, he always says, let's have a team. And that's why I started from the top, from Reese and work my way down, because it takes everybody, and we're going to need everybody until this team gets healthy. And when we get Cruz back, oh, my goodness. Like, Eli is doing his numbers right now. When you get that play in there and he has about 18, 17 seconds to go to the line and work with, I don't care what defense you have. I got confidence in my guy. And I just think last night was such a critical game for us. And, you know, who knows, the injury reports will come out and we will see, you know, kind of what we're looking at as far as that is concerned. But big win for the Giants. And I take my hat off to all those guys because we needed everyone, and they came through for us. Gentlemen, have a great day.
All right, you as well, Maurice.
Thanks,
appreciate
Maurice.
The phone call.
You know, he makes a point with how big of a game that was. I look back at the Buffalo game going on the road to a stadium that's not easy to play in. Their fans are all jacked up there because of what's going on. And that fourth down goal line stand, to me, that catapulted the team's confidence there. Then you come into this game and you win a game like you did here. It was a little bit ugly, but you won the game. And so those two play, one play and a game, can get these young guys and the guys that are playing in the games now because of injuries to the other players, gives them the confidence that they know that they can go out there and do what they got to do to win football games. Now, it's a lot easier said than done. You got to go on the road again this week and go to Eagles, a very hostile environment to play, and go with whoever you got, Lance, whoever's ready and healthy to go play this week, and hopefully all of them. They got hurt last week, and you know you got Beeson that's out with a concussion. Don't know how serious that one is. You get an extra day for that protocol. So if he's out a week, you get that extra day. Maybe he does come back. You know, those are tricky things, concussions. But some of the other ones, the hamstrings, you know, those can heal as long as they're not tears. But hamstrings can be tricky too. You know, those things can linger. And now you got Reuben Randall and Odell Beckham with hamstrings. Not to mention, you know, Reuben Randall's had problems with his knees already. Now you got a hamstring in there too. So, and Kennard, I actually just saw Kennard coming in here. I asked him how he's doing. He says real, really, really well. So hopefully I think he'll be back this week.
Plus with an extended week, as you
mentioned, exactly.
That should help as well.
So that'll help, and you get Selvey back hopefully. And, you know, Marcus Coon's back in the lineup now after missing a couple weeks. And
Bromley got the start, by the way, we should mention,
yes,
too, a defensive tackle.
And, you know, you don't hear, you know, you're not hearing those guys' name on TV or on radio, and they're not showing up in the stats, but – you know, there is a purpose, and they're a very disciplined defensive line. They understand, especially last night. There was a couple times I'm looking at Kaepernick. He is ready to make it out of that pocket. And sure enough, here's the D tackles and DNs. They got him in it. They got him in there. They're not letting him get outside. And, you know, so they are disciplined. And, you know, they got two sacks out of Demontre Moore last night. So, you know, they're right there one or two a game, which is nothing sexy about it. But – you know, listen, the guys that are in the game have to make plays. And one thing that you got to understand it, when you're a second team guy, you don't get the reps in practice. So it's important that you get the mental reps and that you get into the meeting rooms and you get with your coaches and you got to understand the game plan, because you may get into the game, and that's what's happening here. And the guys that get in the game have to know that they understand the concept, they understand the defense, and that they can't make mental errors. And, you know, they're second teamers for a reason, Lance, because they're just not ready to be starters. So you're going to have those types of mental errors, but you got to eliminate as many as you can so that they can play better. And, you know, they found a way to win last night with those second team guys.
You mentioned their ability to close in on Kaepernick when he ran out of the pocket. They've done that now two straight weeks, Jeff, because they even kept Tyrod Taylor in check in terms of the rushing yards.
Yeah, and I mean, you look what he did yesterday, running around all over the place. He has a touchdown, and, you know, yeah, because you have to be disciplined. You have to have your, you know, the lane discipline that we talk about. You get up in there, and you may want to go inside. But, man, the minute you go inside, that guard or tackle puts you inside, and next thing you know, there's no containment on the outside, and there goes that running quarterback. So, you know, this week you're not going to have to worry about that, because Bradford's not the guy that's going to make plays with his legs like these other two guys. But this is the week they're going to have to go in there and get some pressure and maybe, you know, change it up a little bit with some stunts and try to get after this guy.
especially the tight ends, the assignments. That's going to be more key this week as opposed to this past week if you look at the personnel that Philly presents versus San Francisco. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. We're going to get back to your phone calls in a second here. I just want to work in a tweet or two. At Gruen Ben, I wonder where the Giants rank in terms of time with the lead in games. They've really never trailed all season. Keep that up. A noticeable stat is actually in the first five games this season, they've actually led at halftime every single contest. Now, the fourth quarter, point differential is still lopsided. Yep. But the first three quarters, Jeff, they've been pretty consistent, pretty solid, and that gets back to the point. They have been playing with the lead more often than not. It's just a matter of closing out games, finishing games.
They've been, and like you said, they're going into halftime with leads, but something, there's a transition there between that 12 minutes and you're in the locker room and you come back out to kick it off in the third quarter, is that you got to continue what you were doing in the first two quarters. And it seems to me that the Giants are missing a little bit of that component, because, you know, the Giants have gotten into this deferring if they win the coin toss. So a lot of times they're getting the ball in the third quarter if they win the toss, and really getting nothing for it. And so your deferment theory is you want to score at the end of the half and then come out and get the football in the third quarter and do something with it. So you have two quick strikes scores, but that third quarter has been missing. And, you know, of course, we know what's happening in the fourth quarter, and their differential is still is pretty bad. But, yeah, so it's a, yeah, you know, it's just amazing to me that when you look back on this team and those first two games of the season, Giants are in first place, but, man, they sure would be separated from the rest of the pack if they would have been able to put those two games away.
Well, I think the one positive aspect, and you just alluded to this, Jeff, while the Giants would say to themselves, hey, we could easily be 5-0, the flip side is they've been in every contest.
No question. They're not, yeah, they're not getting blown out. They're in every game.
They're competitive,
and they're
so
and
forth.
They're definitely giving the Giants fans ulcers, because this is I mean, those fans that were at the game yesterday, they got their money's worth. I'll tell
oh,
you
indeed.
What. There was not a soul that left that stadium last night. And you know, those 8:30 games are tough because it's late, you know, and people want to go home, and the Giants didn't give them a reason to go home. They kept them around there until the very, very end. And, you know, and it's good as a Giants fan, and to commend those guys, the people that went to the game last night, because the players need the fans in that type of situation. You know, it was loud, and I was down on the field. I came down from the press box last night after Eli threw the, you know, the interception that was not, and I was just like, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe they're going to lose this game. And on my way from the press box down to the field, right when I walked on the field, the referee had said that they reviewed it and it was an incomplete pass. And man, and so I just stood on the side. I was in the back of the end zone there, and they just kept driving down. They got that run by Vereen and down and down. And then I witnessed it right there firsthand. Now, for people that obviously have never been in a press box, it's very quiet up there. You know, there's not a lot of talking going on, and you can't cheer for the Giants because there's so many other people. But man, when I was down on that field, the vibe, just the vibe, and the how loud it was, and it just, you know, I missed that as a player, because that's, you know, watching it up in the press box is boring. You got no emotion. There's nothing up there.
Yeah.
And so seeing it on the field makes me want to go down and watch the game on the field. I tell you, it was awesome. And then that catch, I just hear it now when Darnell made that catch. I mean, the place just it was lifted. It was unbelievable. So hats off to those everybody that stuck around for the game last night.
No coincidence when Jeff Eagles comes down to the field, the energy
the
level
whole
the
energy
stadium
level
goes up.
Goes
that
up,
is
yeah.
No coincidence.
And I will tell you, there's times when DiTino and I talk about this. It's like, and I was never superstitious playing when I was a player because I knew that it would drive me crazy if I was. You know, oh, I got to have my shoes in the right order. I got to do this.
Have
and
a
this.
Meal and so forth.
And so I don't believe in, you know, last time I came down, I sat here, I was standing here, and the team lost, so I got to both stand over here. But Paul is that way. Paul is this, he's a little, you know, kooky that
Three
way.
3 centimeters over, get my ruler out.
And so, you know, it had me thinking last night when I'm walking down there, like, well, you know what? in the Atlanta game, I came down here and they lost in the last. I mean, I wonder if I'm like, what am I talking about? Like, just this really matters? There. Where the hell am I going to stand?
Yeah. Well, at least you're not as nuts as the Tino. That's what we've just confirmed.
Yeah, well, nobody's as
yes.
nuts. In fact, we did the post game last night in the coaches club. And he goes, you know, Jeff, I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight. I go, I don't think you're going to sleep either. I think you're going to do your Nike 5-mile walk that you do probably at 3:30 in the morning. He goes, I got to go home and watch some Eagle tape. I'm like, dude, get a life, will you? Please go to bed. Wake up nice and, you know, energized. And, oh, my gosh. Wow. Johnny Giant.
It's like deja vu because I had the same exact conversation with him when he came up to the press box after I wrapped up last night. So we must be living the same life here.
Well, that's it. When we were walking out of the coaches club last night, I go, all right, Paul, I'll see you later. I go, where are you going? He was getting in the elevator to go up
yeah,
to see
came
you guys.
Up, unfortunately, to me.
I'm like,
how
why aren't you going home? It's like 12:45. Yeah. I'll see you later, Jeff. I'm like, yeah, I'll see you later. I'm going home and go to bed, dude. I mean,
yeah.
I've had enough, you know. 6 hours, 7 hours of football that day. That was enough for me.
Let's head back to the phone lines here at 201-939-4513. Andrew is in New Jersey. Andrew. What's
hey, how's it going? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yes.
And I'll touch on that, but it was a roller coaster, definitely. But I feel the catch, the historically great catch that Donnell made, possibly saved our season and also saved Coughlin's job.
Wow.
The field goal, not going for the field goal early, was stunning. And if you look at every game, there's always dumb strategies, always wrong play calls. And Coughlin at halftime told the reporter, well, we go for touchdowns down there. And then at the end of the game, he contradicted himself and said, no, we needed the points. You have to get points. So he's at least he admits, or he, you know, I'm mad, but then when I hear him speak, I feel sorry for him, you know, because he takes the blame. But that was insane. And I've never remember being depressed watching a game when the Giants had the lead. At that midpoint, I was just so shocked at the play calling, and I was depressed, and I was toying with, well, maybe if they lose by a point or two, that'll be good, because Coughlin will finally learn his lesson. And I thought, well, maybe if they win at the very end by a point or two, that still will teach Coughlin the lesson. And I was thinking if I was Mr. Mara, I might bring him into the office and fire him and promote Spags. You know, I just can't believe
Andrew,
the
they did
calling.
Win the game the last time I checked.
The last time I checked, Andrew brings everybody into Mr. Mara's office and fires him.
Apparently. Jeez.
And also, Toomer on the post game, again, the strategy, too, like every third and one, they – almost never ran the ball. And even a wide receiver, Amani Toomer, was saying, how come they don't run more? Last week, the same thing. Sean O'Hara was saying just a little bit more on the third and shorts. And the play calling, Eli is playing very well, and he's a very good quarterback. But the way that they're calling the games, to me, is only appropriate if you have, like, Kurt Warner on the Rams in their absolute prime Hall of Fame caliber, two wide receivers, both Hall of Fame, Marshall Faulk, Hall of Fame, best pass blocking offensive line, you're in the dome, then that style of play calling would be okay. But the way that they're calling it with so few short yardage runs, they're putting too much on Eli, even though he's good or great, but he's
well,
not.
But, Andrew, I got to cut
brother.
You off here. I
he
did,
threw
I
for
76%
completions.
Yeah, I mean, you take into consideration what Jeff just said, and Andrew, you said they're not going for the short passes. Shane Vereen had 8 receptions last night, which was a
no,
team high.
I mean,
high.
The short yardage runs, like third and one, I want to see them run the ball more often.
Well, but take into consideration, Andrew, they were 9 of 14 on third down. I mean, that's a very good percentage, and they had, of their 14 third downs, 10 for 4 yards or less, and they converted on just about all of those short yardage situations. So, I mean, I understand opening the door for criticism if they get the third and ones and they're not converting, but, I mean, they had a very high percentage in those situations yesterday.
Right.
He's definitely good, Eli. They just have to tailor the game slightly more with more runs, especially when it's a very short yardage run, and he's not – it just seems like they're putting it on if he's one of the top 10 in the history of the game, the way they call the games. But the big guy bailed us out. And Andrew Senior, he's going to make a quick comment. And
okay.
Coughlin keeps his job for now, and the season is saved, hopefully. But here's Andrew.
All right, Andrew, let's hear Senior. What's happening,
Good morning.
Senior?
Listen, yeah. I like the way that tight end played, that rookie.
Will Tye. Will Tye. That's who you're referring to.
Yeah, yes. He played great for a first game that ever played, and I can't wait for the left tackle to come back, the guy that tore his pack.
Will Beatty.
Right.
Yeah.
And move the other guy over to the right side. They will have some offensive line then.
All right, Andrew Senior. Oh. Well, so far the line is playing well. I mean, the timetable for Beatty's return is still up in the air, but clearly they are going to get some reinforcements down the road with Victor Cruz and so forth. And appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Thank you, guys.
In terms of the tag team of the Andrews that we normally get here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And Will Tye was actually his second game. He made his debut against the Buffalo Bills previously. But as we mentioned, Jeff, between him and Dinell, you know, you got 11 catches between the two of them.
And he learned his lesson because he dropped a critical third down play last week in the Buffalo game, and this week he comes out, has four targets, four receptions for a young guy, and you know, it's quite a jump to go from that practice squad, because in the practice squad players, a lot of people may or may not know this, they don't run any of the Giants plays. The practice squad players are
the
other team.
Yeah,
so
they're getting no reps when they're in practice squad mode.
So for these young guys to come off the practice squad, obviously they know the offense because they're sitting in meetings with it. But they're not running the offense. So you got to take your hats off to these young guys and be able to come out and play like that and contribute. Contribute is what you have to do, especially tight end now with Fells gone. And by the way, we wish him the best of luck. I know he's having a hard time with what's going on with the MRSA infection that he had. So we wish him the best. And now, you know, your Cunningham is inactive yesterday. And so this young guy's got to step in and play, and he's done a nice job.
And speaking of Fells, we should mention after the game, Tom Coughlin did say that he visited Fells at the hospital Saturday morning. He said that Fells looked much better. He's had some good days of recovery.
Good.
So obviously we hope and wish for the best for Fells and his family that he improves dramatically. Let's head back to the lines. Drew is in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Lance. How you guys doing today?
What's up, Drew?
What's happening?
Good. Hey, let me go back to this Eli thing real quick. I just want to make a quick point, you know, with regards to the timeout. I don't know if you guys caught it, but, you know, I watched the game last night. Thankfully, it was on. And Eli did that timeout-looking signal. He actually did that earlier in the game to call a play. However, his hands were a little bit lower, though, but he actually did do that signal. So I'm saying this, when I think the refs saw him do that signal again, I think they thought it was a timeout. I just want to make that, you know, just mention that.
Yeah, we saw it. I mean, it was low. You know, he was saying, hey, should I call a timeout here? And the referee saw it and, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if he was calling a timeout, though. But, okay, at any rate, man, first and foremost, you guys already mentioned that anyway. But I did want to give, you know, my prayers out to Daniel Fell. So, I mean, that was wild. I didn't really realize what was happening to him.
I don't think a lot of people did. Yeah. I really don't. I think this was just something that snuck up. And that stuff, that's a nasty infection, you know. And it can spread like wildfire. And obviously it did. And, you know, he's doing good. He's doing better now. So that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, exactly. So let me get to my point, man. I was impressed last night, man, really, man, by the way the offense group seemed to grow up, by the team grow up last night. You know, to me, it was an impressive win, but I saw a team out there, man, an offensive team that went out and said, you know what, man, we is not going to lose this game. And to me, the most impressive thing that I saw out of all of this, man, is Odell Beckham. You know, when Odell wanted to go back in that game, you could tell he wanted to go back in that game. And when he went back in, I mean, first and foremost, Eli had that offense moving anyway without Beckham in there. Vereen was just impressive last night. And, yeah, I've been crying for a utility back for the longest time, and Vereen seems like he's filling that role. But then when Beckham went in there and he picked up that pass interference, or he got that pass interference called against San Francisco, that really helped out. So kudos to the offense, man. Kudos to the Giants. I think they did an outstanding job. You saw a team last night that grew up. And I tell you right now, and, you know, you could tell that Odell wanted that win just by his emotions last night on the field. I don't know if you caught it, man. But
he's a
competitor.
Yeah, he was emotional after the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know that stuff's contagious. And, you know, like we've been talking all morning here, is the fact that they went out and they didn't lose the game. And they went out and played hard and you know, moving forward. They got it, they 3 in a row. So, you know, you're moving on. It's you got a short memory, whether it's good or bad in the NFL.
Yeah, so, you know, that. Now, on my criticism, you know, and I just got to say this, man. I hate to say this, but honestly, man, did anybody think the Giants was going to stop San Francisco on that last drive? No, I didn't. And sure enough, San Francisco walked down the field and scored. That defense has got major, major issues. You know, I don't really need to beat a dead horse to death, but, yeah, major, major issues. And honestly, it was not a surprise to me when San Francisco just marched down the field and scored the touchdown. That said, again, that offense, man, grew up, and it was an impressive win last night.
Well, if
appreciate the call.
Thank you, Drew. That defense is going to give up that, you know, that prevent that they everybody calls it. You know, and you look at all these games in the fourth quarter when these teams are driving down the field, you know, they just give them so much cushion, and it's just, you know, they have big chunks of yardage there. And, you know, they're pretty good when they get into the red zone. They toughen up a little bit, you know, because there isn't much real estate there in front of them.
Backs against the wall type of feeling.
So, but if you have an offense like the Giants do that can turn around and answer the call, that's what you're going to get. And you understand that that's the philosophy. I don't think it's a philosophy. It's just a matter of fact that that's just what's happening. And until the Giants can prove that they can stop a team in the prevent mode, if you will, then they're going to continue to give up those drives like that. And you just got to have an offense and that predicates itself on being able to score at will. And they did that yesterday.
We have a few more callers on the line. I want to try to squeeze in them all here in the remaining few minutes. So we'll move along here. Let's start with Rob in Rochester. Rob, what's happening?
How you doing, Rob?
Hey, Lance, Jeff, how's it going?
Very good, Rob. Buddy. How's everything with you?
Excellent, excellent. What a good morning. Giants won yesterday. It was awesome. What just a great game. Everybody played well from the top down. Jerry Reese down to the water boys. It was all 53 got together and came together to, you know, really finish a game that was tough. I mean, San Francisco always plays as tough.
Yeah, they do. They really do. And they were tough. They hit Eli a lot last night.
They're a very physical team. They've always been.
So it's a good day.
It reminds me of that 2012 championship game again. Just a smash mouth, hard nosed football game. Except the only difference was we were throwing the ball all over the place. It was awesome to see Eli really coming together with McAdoo's system, pulling it together. Everybody's on the same page. Not too many miscommunications. Everybody just played smart. And, you know, we kind of did end up giving up the running game a little bit, which was surprising to me. But it worked. I mean, why run when we have the ability to get us 3 yards anytime we want? We should bring it off the edge. So, you know, kudos
well,
to
Rob,
everybody.
Rob, keep this in mind, and I'll let you continue. The one point that I just wanted to throw out here is, you're right, they only ran the ball 21 times, but keep in mind, Jennings and Vereen have 12 receptions. So I look at that as you really ran the ball essentially 30 times because a lot of those were simple dump-offs. So, I mean, I think there was enough balance considering the running backs were involved in the passing game.
Because some of those passing plays are designed like running plays.
Yeah.
You know they're going to get 3 or 4 yards on it. So, yeah, but it's effective.
What else you got, Rob?
Awesome, Mom. I just wanted to make a point on the defense. The new Spags scheme works really well in kind of a bend-don't-break philosophy.
Sure.
We end up giving up a lot of yards. They get down the field, and then we hold them to 3. It's happened a lot this year. I'm pretty impressed with it, but I'm kind of like, I don't know, I guess just concerned, I guess. The scheme I'm seeing a lot is we're running like a nickel base or kind of a nickel under with the linebackers. And I think we got gutted a little bit last night. Maybe it was a personnel issue with the linebackers that we didn't have available.
I think that's what it was.
Our secondary is a little banged up. So I just wanted to touch base on that, see what you guys' thoughts were, and I'll take it off the air.
No, I agree with you.
All right, Rob. Appreciate
the
call.
I think you look at who was out of the ballgame, it definitely had an effect on the defense and what Spags can call. Because, you know, when you got these guys in there that aren't playing a lot, you kind of got to throw some of your game plan out of the book, out the window, because those aren't your starters. Especially a guy like Beeson, who's going to make all the calls in there and understands what everybody's going to be doing. Now he's out, and Unga comes in for him. Now he knows the calls, but he may not know how to run them. as effectively as Beeson does. So then you got Herzlick in there, who is really not a starting linebacker in this league. He's a special teams guy. He's a good, valuable backup. But, you know, so you got to kind of scale it down a little bit, and you saw the effects of that with those guys being out.
On top of that, Jeff, Kennard, who helps you in three facets, stopping the run, matches up well with tight ends.
Rushes the passer.
And rushes the passer. So, I mean, when you lose a versatile player like that, it's hard to just throw in one guy that's going to give you all three of those.
No.
You may need one or two guys that are going to help you there.
To take care of the other three areas. Let's go to Charlie. I know he's our guy, Charlie. I mean, we can't go a Monday morning without hearing from Charlie.
Charlie is in Maine. What's happening,
hey,
Chuckles?
Hey, guys. Hey, the whole point is we won a game that we're supposed to win.
That's no great. Thank you, Charlie. We appreciate your call. We'll have a good day, Charlie.
And you guys just bringing up the defense. I mean, that's the thing is, like, we had our second and third string players. We had so many guys out that – Coughlin needed to go for the touchdowns. Our offense had to win that game for us. And I would have gone in that fourth and two when he kicked the field goal, I would have gone for the touchdown because 49ers had just marched all the way down the field and got a touchdown, and you knew they were going to march all the way down again because our team was gassed. We didn't have our best players out there. You know, we didn't have them because they were inactive, and then Beeson was out, and, you know, you knew that was going to happen. So I don't blame it on the defense this week just because we didn't have our best players on the field. They did the best they could in the situation they had, and they were just gassed. If I was Coughlin, and another reason why we don't run the ball, because we haven't got 100 yards rushing in 4 weeks, you know, 5 weeks. You know, we don't run the ball well. We're better off passing, like
right.
You're saying, throwing it to Vereen,
yep.
Throwing it to Jennings for those 3, 4, 5 yards. We don't run the ball well. So, I mean, if I was Coughlin, he knew, I think in his mind, he knew the only way, well, I guess he didn't on that call. I would have gone for it. But he knew the offense had to win this game because our defense was hurting because we didn't have our best players. You know, but we won the game, like I said, that we were supposed to win, and that was great. And Eli, what can you say about him? I mean, the guy is – who is the greatest fourth quarter passer winning the game in the league? It's not Tom Brady. It's not his brother. It's Eli. So that's enough said.
Charlie, hey. Did you take your medication this morning? That was a very mellow phone call.
No,
I'm impressed.
Medication. That's why it's,
okay.
You know,
wow. This is so refreshing.
It's awesome.
I'm actually, part of me is a little disappointed. I was expecting some more feistiness
I'll tell you one thing,
today.
Lance, you said that the tight ends had 11 catches. They only had 10.
Well, 11 targets, excuse
11 targets,
me.
Charlie.
10 catches on 11 targets.
Oh, you said
yes.
Targets.
No, I, right. I misspoke. That's fair.
Targets.
All right. You're keeping me in check as well. Look at you,
yeah,
man. Charlie's on
that.
Top of his game today. Charlie is really on top of his game.
Well, we appreciate it, Charlie,
yes,
as
Charlie.
Always, my man.
All right, Charlie. Appreciate the phone call. You can't abandon the run. I mean, just
no,
because you're not getting 100 yards on the ground,
yeah, no, no.
You still need
you
to stick
to the
You
have to be
run.
Able to run the football
Correct.
In certain situations. And, you know, you just you may not be great at it or good at it, but you still can't. You got to try it. And you have to. I mean, you just can't come out and have Eli throw for 57 times a game. You know, that's a lot to ask from your offensive line, by the way. You know, those guys do not like to pass protect. If you're a lineman, you like to run block, and you get, you know, in front of your guy and just latch on. But because, you know, that's a lot of work for those linemen to be pass protecting in 57 plays.
More of a reason why it's impressive what they did last
yeah.
night, considering he threw the ball that much. And speaking of fourth quarter comebacks, that was the 32nd time in his career
that's
that
amazing.
Eli Manning has orchestrated a fourth quarter game-winning drive.
32 times in, what's his 11 years he's played?
Yeah, in that ballpark. I don't know the years off the top of my
head. So you think that's on an average of 3 comeback games a year out of 16, you know? I mean, that's just a little less than 20%, a little 25. I mean, that's ridiculous.
12 season, by the way.
12 seasons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's getting it done.
Absolutely.
Getting it done.
Let's close up shop. The final caller, Derek, is in Atlanta. Derek,
what's up,
happening?
Derek?
Hey, guys. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Lance. Hey, shout out to Charlie. You know, if he's not going to be Lum and Gloom, I will, you know. So,
all
you know,
right,
but
well,
no, I'm not going to be Lum and Gloom. I just want to point out that I still think there's a situational calling
there's a problem
with the coaching.
Yep.
So, you know, that only because you took the points and you had the ball back. You know, if you didn't have the ball back, I agree, go for the 7. But since you didn't get the ball back, take the points. All right, so move on from there.
All right, move on.
Okay. So I first of all, Lance, I heard you on Sirius Satellite. Satellite XM radio?
Yeah, Sirius XM.
What is your schedule?
I'm all over the place. Saturdays and Sundays, though, I'm usually on from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Mad Dog.
Okay. So
he's big time.
I thought we had a really good game. You know, I praise Eli getting the ball out of his hand. That guy, Aaron, whatever his name was with that little wide, and they were kind of like wide nine that were most of them. And they were giving these guys some, you know, Newhouse and them was hanging in there, you know, injuries. We had linemen going in and out. They got players going in and out. We actually played a really good game, I thought. Eli getting the ball out of his hand and you know, that's a lot of yards, you know, 440 something yards, you know, so, I mean,
a lot of passes, 40 something completions,
41 completions. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was getting scared because the defense, you know, that first pass rush, the guy looped inside and that Kaepernick escaped. And I was like, I know you guys talked about that all, not to break your lanes. So to go that first series and break your lanes in that pass rush, I was like, oh, here we go. But they actually played a decent game. I think, Jeff, you said that we needed to come with a pass rush in Philadelphia. I don't know where we're going to get one from.
No.
I'm hoping we can get 53 people over here to Philadelphia.
Well, what I was saying, I know we all need a pass rush. That's Captain Obvious. What I'm saying is that maybe we can scheme somehow to be able to get a pass rush, you know, and maybe they're doing that now. You know, I haven't paid that much attention to it because I'm at the point now where I don't really pay that much attention to it because it's consistently the same every week, you know. So, but I think this defense has got to get healthy before you start doing what I just said. So, and that was kind of what you were leading into. You want to take the 53 healthy guys down to Philadelphia. We'll see this week how many guys can make that trip.
All right, before I go, I just want to ask, you probably went through a buzzing here. What is just what you were Reuben Randle?
Well, he just went out with a hamstring, and that's all we know. You know, today's the day where they get guys in the locker room here. They get them in the training room. The doctors are here this morning. They're evaluating these guys, and then the coaching staff will, you know, Coach Coughlin will have a press conference, and he'll announce the injuries and what's going on. And as the week progresses, the guys will get better or get worse, and you're going to find out on Friday. Usually Friday's around 2 o'clock. 1 to 2 o'clock is when you kind of understand a little bit of who's going to be making that trip down to Philly this week.
Yeah, Derek, we should know more today when Tom Coughlin gives his conference call. And keep in mind, the week is pushed back this week, Jeff, too.
Yeah.
So Thursday is the introductory day for the Eagles when we'll probably see the first formal practice report in terms of who took part
right.
and who didn't. So
it's a Monday night
exactly.
game.
So with things pushed back, you may not hear much, at least on Tuesday and Wednesday, but perhaps Tom Coughlin will have some more info later today.
Okay, well, I think we'll fare well. This 49er rivalry is everything has been, you know,
it's always been
a physical
game.
Times.
Always been
and
physical.
Now we're going to another big rivalry of ours.
Yep.
So, you know, let's just, you know, try to get another win down. And I got to talk to you guys later.
Sounds good, Derek. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, Derek.
Want to get to one or two tweets here before we wrap up the show. At Cepeda MLB, Allen writes, Eli has his late-game magic back. He seems in control of the offense, is playing extremely well. Certainly echo those sentiments, especially when you take into consideration his performance in the last two contests. Ben at BigBen_Z. I think the D played pretty well considering Beeson, Kennard, and Ayers were out. Spags called it a work in progress. And at D_Ricker81, simple dump-offs. What a great feeling to be able to execute a dump-off and speak of it as if it's routine with what Shane Vereen has been able to bring to the offense.
You know what? When the Giants haven't been able to run the ball and they didn't have that dump-off option, man, was it was tough to watch. You know, because what's happened in that situation is that the Giants forever were in 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. We would get a 2nd and 10, and all the 80,000 people in Giants Stadium knew on 2nd and 10 what we were running. And I know that people were probably – they just answered it. We didn't hear it. It was the old patented Gilbride draw. 2nd and 10, there's the draw play. It's every single time. Now they got an option. They can dump off on 1st down or 2nd down, and then you got 3rd and 3 and 3rd and 4. It's a lot easier to call plays 3rd and 3 and 3rd and 4 than it is 3rd and 14, trust me.
Manageable.
Not many plays you can call up 3rd and 14 and be confident that you're going to make a 1st down.
Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. Appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. Enjoy the victory as the Giants won their third straight. They improved to 3-2 on the season. Sole possession of first place in the NFC East. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll speak to you soon.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.